Spirit frees us. It does not matter what you are. There is no distance that's too far. He'll come to you. Just speak His name.
The name of Jesus.
Isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Watch right over you. Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Thank God. Thank
just speaking His name, felt His presence come in. And we serve a good God, and a name the whole family in heaven and earth is named, the name Jesus. So we get God's attention when we call on His Jesus' name. And you know, I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus. And I don't want to be. You know, there's some times I'm probably am not as bold as I should be. But I love the Lord. I love Him, and I love talking about Him. And if I know I'm not going to offend somebody, you know. But I was just thinking about I don't know whether any of you all seen the presidential speech last night. But I'm helping Brother Weiniger in his remodel his bathroom, and so we took a break and was listening to it, and I noticed throughout the whole deal he never mentioned anything about being a Christian or God. Or the only time he mentioned God was at the very end. He said, "God bless America." And you know, that you can feel a difference between you know, and I don't want to get into politics, but I don't want to be ashamed of the name of Jesus, is my point. I feel like He honors His name, and it's our name. And I want to love that name and want to be as much a part of him and His body as I possibly can. And so it's good to be here tonight. It's good to be in His presence. And so maybe I can take up prayer request if somebody has a need of prayer. And might mention again calling somebody. I know Brother Smith mentioned that here the other day, and I want to work in that area as much as I can, and go out and reach out to our friends and loved ones. This is a holiday season, and it's a good time to talk about the Lord. I noticed I play a radio station at work, and I noticed they're playing Christmas music now. And I've got a friend. I like to call him a friend. I don't know whether he considers me a friend yet or not, but that I've been working with, and he's really ungodly. But I noticed, you know, he was kind of singing along with this Christian music, or these you know, the Christmas songs. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe there is a spark there, you know. You never know. It's hard to see inside of somebody's heart. And this gentleman is he speaks Russian, or he's actually a Russian born citizen, and he's over here. He's been here in the United States for 5 or 6 years, I think. And so he does a pretty good job communicating, but he has difficulty communicating. I notice that it makes it difficult for us to communicate, and it is kind of a boundary there, or a barrier, I mean. And so it's really hard to see inside of, you know. There's a scripture that says something to that extent, you know, the heart of man. Heart of man is deceitful, who can know it? But it seems like there's another scripture that I'm trying to think of, but the heart of man is hard to, I mean, it's hard to see in, you know. I think, of course, the Spirit of God helps us to discern people's spirit, but we're still, you know, the heart of man is deceitful, and it's hard to see, but God sees. God sees and understands everybody, and where there is hope, you know, we can pray, and I think he'll make a way for anybody that there's a chance for them to be saved. So, I'm sorry, Sister Fisher. Sister Wilkinson, okay. Yeah. Let's pray for Brother McGowan. Sister Rice, ask for prayer. Okay. Brother and Sister Jerry York. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, let's pray for Brother Smith. Needs healing. He's a busy man, and it's really affecting him. Brother Ratliff, Sister Gail, Sister Abraham. Ask for prayer. Okay, that's good. All righty. Well, Brother, the whole Dodson family is sick. Who did I see? Sister Crow. Okay. Sister Crow. Aunt Susie. Isn't it good to have Aunt Susie here tonight?
Called me and said, everybody pray at 7 o'clock.
All right.
Thank you. It's good
7
to be
o'clock.
Here.
Okay. Yes. Very good. Okay. Pray for Sister Cindy.
Not very loud. Guatemaltecos is what they call them, instead of Guatemalans. But there's about 60 or 70 of them, and they really are loving this message and coming into the body. And then there's a, this is sort of ironic, but there's a pastor in La Romana where Brother Elias and Brother Green have churches. And he's got a church there just outside of La Romana. And they've known him. In fact, it's sort of strange. His daughter is like 16 years old. And she goes to Elias's church. This pastor permits his daughter to go to Elias's church. Hmm. She, you know, she's been there. One time you'll see for 8 years. She was there. He was just letting her. He had started this church, and it was a little bit out of town, and it didn't have any youth, and so he let, they were friends with Elias, but they didn't know anything about the body. But she got the Holy Ghost and loved this message, and she begged her dad to let her stay in that church, and so he did. Well, after these 8 years, well, the mother has found out more about the body and, of course, heard a lot of persecution about it. Anyway, this family's fairly well off and has a home in New York also. And they're in New York right now visiting for the holidays. And Brother Elias and Sister Yolanda has been spending time with them. And it just, the door opened up, and they said this, Brother Elias had been giving him the message of the body of Christ, and he's just accepted it, and they say he's just going crazy with it. He's so excited about what all he's hearing. And so we've got another church in La Romana coming in that came in up in New York. That's kind of strange how all this works, but right now, Brother Elias is in, Brother Leonel's. He went there to be with him about a week. Brother Elias Cipriano is quite a teacher of the Word of God. He's really a able scriptorian. He's very, very knowledgeable of the Bible. And he just has an ability to get people's attention, draw people. He's got three or four churches under him now in the Dominican Republic, and he just has the ability to do that. And but let's pray for these people, because you know what it's like when you bring a whole church in and they're hearing about the falling away of the church and restoration and perfection and all that, but you realize what all they've got to hear yet? And what all it affects them and all their people and how it's presented. Just like for an example, one of the things that's an amazing thing over there, see, the doctrine of communion. Taking communion, I see that's a big thing over there. I mean, they take communion over there. That's like going to McDonald's. They do it often. And you start taking that, those things away from those people, it almost seems sacrilegious to them. They really have to get a revelation. But these men can explain it very well. In fact, I'd say there is probably better than I can, because it's such a big doctrine over there that they've had to really search out every little scripture. Pray for these people, because I've never seen a whole church come in yet and everybody make it. Oh, you know, Jesus, you remember he said, I didn't come to bring peace but division. Mother be against father, father against mother, husband against wife, and in other words, this message will bring separation to people who can't hear it, will pull away from it. But it's so great when you get it, you'll stand for it no matter your closest loved one can be against you. You can't give it up. So pray. Pray for these new people that are coming in, because we're not talking about a new family. We're talking about a lot of families, two whole churches coming in right now. And then Lionel really needs, he lost his job. He quit his job. He was working evenings, kept him out of service on his night service during the week. And he quit that job and took a better job. And just in the training of it, the guy that was training him, he said he seemed like he didn't like him. But anyway, his new job didn't pan out, and now he don't have a job. So need to pray for Brother Lionel on that. But also pray that Liz can be a great help and strength to him while he's there right now.
It's good to have Brother Joel back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Missed you, brother. We're going to miss you when you're gone. Speaking of, Brother Smith is talking about the Dominican Republic. I talked to Brother Green today, Brother Smith. Huh?
Okay. I looked at my battery and I said it's on mute. I think I had it on mute.
Oh.
I think that's what was wrong with it. I'm sorry. Apologize.
But actually, I was at work and I got this phone call, and it was an out of area phone. Ever since I've got this new phone, Brother Smith talked me into buying this iPhone, and. But I had to get a new phone number because I moved to Little Rock, and I still had my Springfield phone number. And people knew that I wasn't a local person when they seen my phone number, and it just helped me, you know. I didn't need people asking me if I was out of town when I don't want them thinking I'm new, you know, around here. It doesn't help. God forbid. Well, you know. It ain't that hard to figure out, I don't suppose. But anyway, it just feels like I'm at home when I got a home phone number, right? Can I say that? Okay. And I wanted it bad. I wanted the iPhone, too, really bad. You know, Brother Smith didn't have to twist my arm too much. But I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I got this phone call today, and it was out of the area, and I've been having troubles with people calling Madeline Frazier every time, and she's in a lot of trouble, and she gets a lot of phone calls, and I get all of them for her. And so I've been trying to straighten it out, and I'll answer, and I'll tell them to quit calling me, you know, because for a while I just ignored them, and I thought they're going to keep calling me if I don't answer them and tell her that I, you know, this is not her. This is not Madeline Frazier. So. But I got this phone call, I answered it, and it was somebody from the Dominican Republic. It was FedEx from the Dominican Republic. What happened was my wife and I finally got this package together for our adoption. We've been working on getting, she gave us this big, the lawyer we talked to down in the Dominican Republic gave us this list of things we need to get together to help her get us the adoption process going. And it was a long list of stuff. And, you know, Brother Green told me, said, you know, well, we need that. And he goes, can you get it for me Monday? And this was Friday. And I'm like, Brother Green, there's a lot of stuff here. I can't get this, you know, it's going to take at least a couple weeks. But anyway, we finally got it together and we FedExed it to him Monday. And they got it yesterday. No, they got it this morning. She called me today. They got it this morning. So about a day and a half. It got all the way from here to, I was kind of impressed about that. But anyway, they wanted to, she was calling me and wanted to get their address to so they could get it shipped. So I called Brother Green, and he goes, "Brother Mark," he said, "you waited a whole month." He said, "we've been waiting on it. We've been worried." So I kind of got raked over the coals by Brother Green. But anyway, pray for us. That's why I'm bringing this up. Pray for us about this adoption. I would really like for this all to work out. We're anxious to have a little Dominican girl daughter to adopt. So pray for us on that. Somebody else raised their hand. I don't know.
I might mention Sister Brenda Norman is moving back. Her old job had an opening and wanted to hire her back. And
good.
She's been wanting to come back, so pray for her in that transition. But she's probably moving back in a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to having her back.
Yeah. I'd like to have as many people back as we can get. Amen? All right. Yeah, Sister Angie. Okay. Okay. Sister Yvonne? Okay, pray for Brother Doug York. So, isn't it good to be able to cast our cares on the Lord when we know He hears us? Sister Sherry? Sherry's got it unspoken. All right, well, let's all stand, and can our ushers come forward? We'll take up the missionary offering tonight. Just give generously to the missionary work. And keep our missions on our mind. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness tonight, Jesus. Oh, God, we love you. Thank you. Depend on you in everything, Lord. We know you're able to reach down and meet our needs, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, would you meet these needs tonight, oh, God. We've been brought forth, Lord, to you tonight, oh, God. Would you pray for our missionary work? Would you help us in our missionary work, Lord? And lead us and guide us, O God, and strengthen us, O God, and give us leading, O God, and wisdom, O God. O Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord. Would you help us tonight, Jesus, in our service, Lord? Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we love you, Lord. Yes, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank the Lord. I'm happy to be here tonight. Happy to be in church on Wednesday night. There's no place I'd rather be tonight. Brother Junior Dave said being in church is better than being in the best hospital in Little Rock. So I believe that. I'm pleased to be here tonight. We appreciated the opportunity to go to Tyler for Thanksgiving and be in church there in Tyler, Texas, and enjoyed the service very much. And my brother John Kennedy is a fine man of God and has a great congregation there. And of course, Glass's family lives there, her parents and her brother, and we enjoyed our trip. Brother Kennedy, he mentioned something. He used a scripture in a way that I hadn't heard before, and he was talking about they that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I've always reserved that scripture to be worshiping the Lord in truth is to me would be the equivalent of having all the truth, and so you'd know how to worship the Lord. You know, some people worship, but they don't know what they're worshiping, if you will. And so I've always reserved that scripture in that context, that, you know, just like whether it's communion or something like that, there's certain truths that we have where we can worship the Lord in a greater way. That it's not as significant, you know, a cracker and a cup of juice isn't as significant to us as being able to commune with the Lord and worship Him in the Holy Ghost, you know, and being able to dine on His Word. So anyway, he mentioned that. He said, this scripture to me is to worship the Lord truly. And I thought, well, and then he went on to explain that there's a lot of people that don't, they're not honest about life. You know, they're not honest about aspects of their life. And Brother Gary Green, he gave me some words of wisdom one time. He said, the hardest thing that you'll ever do, Brother Nathan, is to be honest with yourself. And I know that's right. I've often looked in the mirror and not really liked what I saw. And in fact, there's been times I've avoided the mirror. You know what I mean? But Brother Kennedy, he mentioned that about being true, worshiping the Lord truly, and giving your all and surrendering to Him. And of course, the service went on at different things, and there was a brother there. I want to tell this testimony. It's not my testimony, but it's so neat I want to tell it. His name's Lloyd Young, and he has a large family. And it's funny to hear him crack big family jokes, but he did, and it was only funny because he said it. He has 7 children, so so he has a big family, anyway, he was worried about, and so I'm going to say this joke only because he said it, and I hope you appreciate it, but he was planning on traveling to visit his family for Thanksgiving, and he didn't have any money. And he just knew that, you know, Gladys and I, we have a saying around our house that, well, let's just pray the Lord will send a check in the mail. And if you know our testimony, the first time we ever prayed that prayer, we got a check in the mail for like $1.35 or something like that. But we've always held on to that. You know, there have been times that we've gotten unexpected blessings. Anyway, he was essentially waiting for a check in the mail, and when he went to the mailbox, the check wasn't there. And so he sent his family an email and said, "We're not coming. You can cut the recipe in half." It reminds you he has 7 children. So it was a joke. You know, it's just funny. he said, you can cut the recipe in half. Well, he was pretty, you know, distraught about not being able to go. So we began to seek out the Lord about his life. God, is there anything I'm hiding from you? Is there anything I'm not yielding, surrendering to you? And he had something, it wasn't anything of sin, but it was something that, well, he has a conceal and carry license for a handgun. And he's been in law enforcement, and he does security and things like that. And he, I guess in some ways, he was proud of his skills and his ability. He knew he could defend himself or his family. And God spoke to him, said, you're not trusting in me about those things. And so he took his holster off and took the bullets out of his gun and put the gun up in the closet and said, Lord, this, here it is. It's yours and I'm yours. And it was just a nice segue from Brother Kennedy's message about living true to God and trusting God for everything, for who you are, for what you are, for where you are. You know, it's hard. Sister Lacey, I know it's hard for us sometimes to make that drive in. I know it's got to be hard for you sometimes to make that drive from Cabot. But it's not about the drive. It's what drives us. That's the way I feel. It's not about the sacrifices. You know, I mean, I feel that way sometimes. Man, you know, I feel the burden of the sacrifice. Don't misunderstand me, but it's not that. That's not where my reward comes from. My reward is what is motivating me, what's driving me. I know that this is a greater, if it wasn't for this, I might not even have a home. I might not have a good family. I might not have a good job if it wasn't for the Lord in my life. If I wasn't trusting him in those things, it says that he that is faithful in a few things. So I want to be faithful in whatever the Lord brings my way. So anyway, to keep going with this story, he said that he put it on a shelf. He was pretty sad that they weren't going, and they've gone for many years to see their family. And he had helped a brother start a business 3 or 4 years previous. It was just being gracious to help this brother start this business. And he did. Well, this brother called him at 5 o'clock on Wednesday night and said, Brother Young, I just wanted to let you know that my wife and I have been praying about this, and we haven't really done anything as an effort of thanks for your help on starting our business. And he said, our business has grown and is in the Dallas area. He said, I want you to write this number down. So he wrote, his number down, and he said, okay. He said, take that number and go to a Western Union place. He said, and I've deposited $1,000 for you. Of course, I've abbreviated his whole story, but it just was amazing to me that God dealt with him that day. He was expecting things to happen. They didn't happen. Instead of getting all worked up and riled like I would do, he trusted the Lord, and the Lord gave him the desires of his heart. And that really just made a tremendous impression on me. And then, of course, we got to come home, and we took a little time to just relax. And so Monday, of course, you guys know, I'm sorry that we had the technical difficulties that we had tonight. We had a breaker flip off in the back, and it turned all these off, and then we had the mic turned up when we turned it on, and it's just a combination of errors. So I apologize for that tonight. But for several months now, I've basically been in the booth and trying to make sure everything's coordinated, and I really am appreciative of the teamwork and the effort of all the people that work up there. And there's a lot that goes on. You may not realize it, but there's a lot of dynamics going on. There's sound to control, there's cameras, there's lighting, it's not as dynamic as we want it to be. There's the internet files getting uploaded and things like, there's just a lot going on. And so I was a bit anxious, as you might expect, to be gone, but I had confidence, you know, trying to cross-train everybody and make sure that, you know, that there's other people that can fill other positions. And so I came in Monday to work and plugged into our website. And I want to tell you, that was, it's from somebody that's in it all the time, and I take it for granted, and I, you know, I listen to it, I check it, and I'm listening for different things, and I don't listen, you know, I'll just be honest about this, I don't always listen to everything. I don't listen to the services over and over again, because I'm so focused on looking for stuff. Well, I came in Monday morning, and I just turned on our service from Sunday morning, and it sounded fantastic. The band was mixed great. The singers, there was a great harmony between the singers and the instruments and the guitars and the horns. I could hear it was just fantastic. And Brother Nathan, you did a great job, and Brother Caleb also, and I know Sister Joanne was up there helping with other things. Just really did a fantastic job, and I was listening to Brother Smith's message Sunday morning about charity and different things, and it just provokes me even more to want to be true and to not hold anything back as far as yielding my life to the Lord. I have nothing without, I'm nothing without the Lord. In fact, you know, there's a song, I can't remember the chorus, but it says, I'd be lost. I'd be like a ship without a sail, like a vessel without an anchor, wandering aimless out on life's ocean. That's how I'd be without Jesus. And that's how I'd be. I mean, I know that. There's no doubt in my mind that I would just wander through the world, you know, trying to stay out of trouble. Not having any purpose. You know, I'm trying to stay out of trouble now, but I've got purpose. There's things in my life that I'm working on, things that I'm a part of that, you know, that I know that it's bigger than me, but I still get to be a part. You know, it's just amazing that, that, you know, just like today, I was working on solving a problem. I'm a buyer for a company, and I'm sourcing product, and I'm taking care of things, and we had a problem with a product line that I couldn't get, got discontinued, and I'm trying to find a source. I'm looking in Asia, and I'm looking in China and Italy and France and different places, and I'm looking for all this stuff, and I'm thinking, this world is too big. The world's too big. I'm got my mind on, you know, the euro, and I've got my mind on the yen, and I'm just a hillbilly from Arkansas. But as I was thinking that thought, I thought, and God still knows who I am. And that's amazing to me. It is amazing to me that God still knows who I am. He knows all about me. And I take consolation in this. Now, as a young person, I fear. This really brought more fear to my life than it did comfort. As a young person, I was conscious that God knew my every action. That as a young person, I knew that God knew everything about me. There wasn't anything that I did that He didn't know. You know, there's an old song, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. There's not anything in our lives that God does not know about. There's nothing hid from Him. And as a young person, that really brought fear, which is okay, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It helped me understand that it's okay to fear God, to know that He knows, and that He will hold me accountable for every, the Bible says, every idle word. That there's nothing that I'm going to do that God won't take into consideration. and judge me for. I'll say this, it became more real to me when I realized that judgment doesn't necessarily have a bad connotation. For example, you say you're in a court case. Say you're, I'll just take my business. Say my business is in a court case, somebody uses our product inappropriately and they get hurt. Well, we may get sued, we may be standing before a judge, but if we're not at fault, then the judgment of the matter will be to my good rather than to my detriment. That's one thing that I learned. I had the real distinct privilege of working on the Walmart legal team for a couple of years, and at the time, Rob Walton was he was the lead attorney, and my attorneys answered directly to him. So I learned a lot about, you know, corporate law and specifically tax law and some and health insurance law and different things like that. And but Mr. Walton was adamant. If he wasn't at fault, he would fight a court case all the way to the Supreme Court. Because he said, it's not a matter of helping or helping somebody that's hurt, it's a matter of principle. If I'm not at fault, I'm not paying for it. And so he was just adamant about that. And I, you know, in my mind, it was just. It was a just approach to his business, and I respected him for that. Heard him say it out of his own mouth on a couple of different occasions. But if he was wrong, then he would pay it. He would figure out, you know, what they owed, and they would pay the bill and move on, and you know, as business as usual. And that's how I think God's that way. God isn't sitting here. I used to have this impression of God that he was just ready to just hammer me, and just he was just waiting for me to fail. That got him again. That was my impression of God. But I've since learned that God, it's not his desire to punish me. However, it is his desire to have me find correction. And the thing about it is, it said that him that he loveth will he chastise. And so I've learned to appreciate the correction of the Lord. I've learned to appreciate standing in that judgment. You know, if you're standing in the judgment of God and you're in the wrong, then you know, David said, I can't remember exactly how the scripture puts it, but he basically said, I'd rather be judged by God than by men. And I'm sorry I can't put all the words together, but he knows that God is a righteous judge. And Abraham, when Abraham was praying for Lot, you know, Lot was in a horrible situation. Sodom was as ungodly and ready. God was sick of Sodom and ready to destroy it. And Abraham, his prayer was, well, not the God of the, I think it's how he said it, not the God of the whole earth do right or just. I can't remember exactly how he said that, but Abraham stood on the faith, his faith that God would judge righteously without exception. And then there's another sorry guys, my mind's a little blank tonight, but there's another scripture where he said that God he's no respecter of persons. So the thing is if he'll take a young child, just like that woman that had the widow's mite, and Jesus lifted her up above everyone else. It wasn't because she was so much greater or that she had so much more to offer, but what she offered righteously. And Jesus saw that, and he honored that in her. She stood in his judgment, and he honored that in her life. And so I've learned that there is a comfort or a rest to stand in Christ's judgment. And does it make me fearful? Absolutely. You know, Paul, he used a word, boy. I can't remember the scripture, but the Apostle Paul, he so much said that he was fearful. It's okay to be fearful of God's righteous judgment. But here's the thing. You know, it's just like when we were planning on moving down here, we had a lot of people that came against us for moving. My own family, friends, came against me for seeing the need to move. And I'd say, well, let's, you know, to try to bring comfort to them, I'd say, well, let's pray that God's will be done. And they'd say, well, you know, I don't, you know, Brother Smith, I heard you talk about holding that lady, you know, that salesman holding that lady's hand and bowing his head for a minute. And said, now don't you feel like it's God's will for you to buy this car? Well, I didn't do that with my family. You know, I didn't pull the wool over their eyes or pull a fast one on them and say, well, you know, get that warm feel. Don't you feel it's God's will for us to move to Little Rock? But I'll tell you, they wanted to do that to me. They wanted me to sit there with them and they try to comfort me and say, now don't you feel it's God's will for you to stay right here? But the thing is I knew it wasn't. And I thank God that he gave me that understanding and inspiration to sell out, pack up my bags, and move to Little Rock. It's probably one of the hardest things I ever did. But I knew that God was in it. And I had to keep pressing for. I had to follow his will. You know, even when it hurts. But so my family would test me a little bit. You know, they'd leave me alone for a week and then they'd call me back a week later. Or they'd come see me and give me a hard time about it. And I told them one day, I said, let's pray that, I said, trying to comfort them, I said, let's pray that it's the will of God. Trying to bring, because I already knew, but they hadn't reached that understanding, or you know, and they said, well, I just don't see how God's will could be in, you know, and then here we'd go again. So one day I told them, I said, now look here. I said, I'm praying that it's God's will. I said, because I don't want it any other way. In fact, I told them, I said, in fact, I'd be afraid to have it any other way than God's will. Because the consequences would be bad. Whatever it was that whatever I thought I could accomplish or do or go or be outside of the will of God would amount to zero, nothing without God's will in my life. And I knew that, and I thank God that he helped me understand that. And so anyway, my heart tonight is to walk true with the Lord. And to be honest before him. And, you know, even greater, it's hard to be honest before the Lord. And it's in because, I mean, in some ways it's easy because, and I rest in this, because he already knows. It don't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what thought came in. He already knows. The Bible says he knows the very thoughts and intents of our heart. And, you know, Brother Smith, you use that scripture Sunday. You see, I'm talking like I was here Sunday. But I was, because I got to listen to it. And I don't mean to sound that boastful, but I appreciate the technology and the tools that we have. I know in the past, if you've ever missed a meeting or missed a service and you didn't get, you know, sometimes you'd wait for weeks to get the DVD or the DVDs, the VCR tapes or the cassette tapes. You know, you have to wait for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks to get the camp meeting tapes unless you hung around and got them right at the end. And but now you can go home tonight and you can hear our services at just about any service. You can go home if you've got internet access and pull it up and listen to it, you know, when you get home. And it's fantastic. It's just amazing the technology that we have available to us. And of course it creates other questions and, you know, circumstances, but God knows all about that. But anyway, Brother Smith, you mentioned, I lost my train of thought there. It was, I was talking about trusting the Lord in everything. Oh, that's what it. And you mentioned charity, but you also mentioned that the Bible says that the candle of the Lord, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, and how that God will use our brother and our sister to work out stuff in our life. And you know, my wife and I, Gladys and I really have a fantastic relationship, but it hasn't always been that way. And you know, as everybody is, there's time to grow, and there's hard times, there's things that people go through, and one time we were struggling, and we both had a desire for a good outcome, but it just was so hard to see it. And the Lord dropped that verse in my heart in the book of Ephesians, where it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." And that scripture became alive to me that day. When I heard that scripture, it became alive to me. Because I know, I'm going to tell you something about me. I've been offensive to God. I've disobeyed. I've sinned. I've mistreated the Lord. I've denied him in my life. I've hurt his feelings. I've spoke evil. You know, I've done everything that he said don't do. You know, I've completely rejected him in my life, and he has every reason to say, I am through with you, Nathan Painter. You are done. Get on out of here, boy. He has every reason to do that. But he didn't. He didn't. And even when he was being crucified, he was thinking of me. He was still thinking of the sinner. He was still thinking of the people that were mistreating him. He loves humanity, and he